It's Dandelion on Sonic Dorms with co-host Max. And our special guest today is Amanda Osment, who was producer, editor, and everything else, really, on the documentary film Bulletproof Wings, which is now streaming on Tubi. I definitely suggest you go check it out. But before you go check it out, let's hear what Amanda has to say about working on this film for however many years she spent her life doing this.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little under 2 years, I think. I didn't write the film. Well, I didn't write the script anyway. But yeah, I did produce and edit a lot of it. It was a really interesting project to work on.
So tell us a summary of what the film is really about.
So a good friend of mine, Ethan Isaac, is the lead singer in this band called Edison. And he happened to be in New York on 9/11, and the whole experience really impacted him deeply. So he became involved first in some artist community activities that were kind of geared towards channeling the trauma that artists, especially in the Hudson Valley, had experienced during 9/11 into creating art, kind of as a healing or mechanism of some sort. He was featured in a documentary in the Woodstock Film Festival, and someone at Armed Forces Entertainment saw it and reached out to him because they had this unique opportunity for, you know, they were looking for a band that could really, you know, rock, so to speak, but that wasn't, you know, too diva or maybe too famous yet to go over to Iraq and Afghanistan and really into the heart of the war. Not quite like a regular USO tour. They wanted people to go play for the troops stationed on the front line, where morale was lowest and where the fewest people are. And it's also because it's the hardest place to get to. So Ethan and his bandmates bravely signed up to do it. And Bulletproof Wings was basically their behind the scenes footage that they took. They took over 200 hours of footage over the course of 2 years. They brought a videographer named Chip with them, and he recorded everything pretty much. It's a really interesting all access look behind the scenes at what it's like, not only in the military, but what it was like back then during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. So yeah, I mean, they fly in Black Hawks, they do all kinds of crazy stuff that most civilians and many soldiers don't have the opportunity to do. So,
right. Yeah. Was it you and Ethan and the rest of the band? Was it all of you going through that 200 hours full of film together?
No. So I mostly went through the film initially. One day Ethan basically walked into my office. I was working at Factory Underground. He is an owner at Factory Underground. He and Kenny Cash in Norwalk, Connecticut. And one day he basically walked over to my desk and just dropped this giant box of tapes at my feet and told me that his band had played for the troops. And he told me what I just told you about, you know, why they did it, that it was an experimental tour. It was a military experiment really at the time, because nobody had done quite what they were about to do before. And he said they captured it all on tape, and, you know, he'd been meaning to do something with it at the time. There was some interest at the time that it happened from a producer out in LA, but nothing ever really came to fruition. So he offered me the opportunity, if I wanted to start going through the tapes and see if I thought there was anything there. And I mean, obviously I did. So it started out just with me and a team of interns. In particular, this intern named Bart, who worked very closely with me to go through the footage starting out and just start logging stuff and clipping off promos.
Sorry, my cat.
Bart. Yeah. and then about, I'd say maybe like 7 or 8 months into that process, we had put together a trailer using a lot of the footage that had been pulled aside for by the previous producer who had picked up the project and dropped it and turned it, revamped it into a trailer and started pitching to see if we could find an executive producer to come on, bring some money in, and help really make a film out of everything as we were going through. And so that's how Lori Ambrosini eventually got involved and joined our team. And then she joined me in the edit room. And I had pulled together a bunch of different clips from each tape, but she really helped me gel it into a cohesive story. And that's kind of how it was made. I don't know.
Did you find that to be like something that you being in the business already, that experience that you had prior to tackling on this project, was that something that you felt by the time you got to this project and the editing process with this, that all that experience really came in handy?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I had worked at ESPN for a number of years and I had just gone to Nepal recently to shoot something there. And so I had a lot of prior experience and I think I was uniquely inclined towards this specific idea of taking found footage, like real found footage, though not faked found footage, and seeing if I could build a story out of it. Just because I had seen so many people do such things with feature production and whatnot and different vignettes that we had worked on at ESPN, that it seemed like the most logical thing to do when we had such a wealth of footage. I mean, a lot of times when a documentarian comes across this type of footage, they go out and they pull interviews from other people and interviews even now with the members of the band. And we thought about going that route. But ultimately, Lori and I decided that it was best to keep it as just the footage of the band themselves and kind of try and tell it as a cohesive story exactly as it happened, as much as we could stay true to that anyway. You know, there were obviously some tapes that, I mean, these were mini DV tapes, so they were really hard to convert. And some of them just had spots. Sometimes something really great would be about to happen or seemingly so, and then it would just like cut out and it was the worst. But yeah, so it was a really unique process for sure. It definitely was something that I think I was uniquely qualified to do.
So after seeing all these tapes and spending all that time going through these tapes, when did the idea of how to put the story together kind of begin to formulate in your mind? Like, I mean, as somebody who produces music, which is different than producing film, to put like the pieces and stuff together is always like, it's like fun if it's like part of your passion, but it's also, it can be daunting from my experience as well. So when you were piecing it together, when was like the dawn of what you knew the storyline should look like?
I mean, that was, Lori and I were going back and forth throughout the whole production process. I would put together a scene and then we'd cut it. And, you know, she really did lend structure to the process by, I had a lot of different footage that I had found that was great from Iraq and great from Saddam Hussein's palace and great from Afghanistan, but she really helped create a storyline. She's the one who wrote the script for the film. And so she kind of scripted it through and created the order that the scenes all went in. And I kind of did all of the editing artistic work on the other end of that to put the story together. So I kind of pieced together the scenes and then she threaded them into a complete story. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, right, exactly. Teamwork. And Ethan was great too. You know, Ethan consulted on it a lot. And I think one of the most important parts about the film is that when you're watching it, you just see how much these guys really were terrified at points, but also really cared, and their love for, you know, just the universal human spirit, just collectively uplifting people with their music, was more important to them than, in many cases, their own safety and overall well-being. And it's funny too, because, you know, like these liberal guys from New York, this liberal band, and they're just hanging out with these mostly Midwestern Southern guys, a lot of whom are, you know, right leaning. And it didn't really matter. We could all get along. Everybody got along during Bulletproof Wings. It was really nice to see that mutual appreciation for humanity, because I feel like right now it's really lacking, especially in the United States. There's such a broad schism. It's a nice reminder that we all could get along.
Yeah, that's something that I think it's like the timing of this project is, and for anybody that takes the opportunity to watch it, I think that's something that they can take away from it, I think, overall. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you. I was actually really surprised to see that when I was looking at the footage. I expected everyone to be nice and cordial and whatever, but I didn't expect to get the vibes, you know, like that like, wow, like they're all feeling each other and everybody really genuinely cares about one another, mm-hmm. kind of thing, you know?
Go ahead, Dana, sorry.
Amanda, in your opinion, what part in the film is, I don't want to say favorite because that seems like silly to say, but what part in the film do you think is the most important that people should watch for?
Gosh, there are a couple. Personally, like some of my favorite parts, my very favorite part of the whole film just to watch is the part in Afghanistan where they go out to the shooting range in the mountains. It's pretty crazy. They kind of shoot up the side of an Afghan mountain. And then, you'll have to watch it to find out what happens. But I thought that was a pretty badass scene just because, you know, another part of it and kind of the music hook here is that this is about a band and we did use all their original music for the whole soundtrack. And sorry, that was my dog. One of the parts of the artistic process that was the most challenging was actually threading the music through all the scenes as well as the narrative, you know, like that. But I think that the music really makes it much more impactful. And that particular scene just hits, to me at least, and the scene that directly follows with these kids. And there's actually a really important scene in Afghanistan just before that as well, where they're talking to a member of the Afghan National Guard through an interpreter whose family has just been killed by the Taliban. And it's a really interesting perspective based on what's going on now to hear what he had to say then. There are a lot of really, really eye-opening moments that happen behind the scenes on the front line that I think people would be interested to see. I mean, I was shocked. They stayed in Saddam Hussein's palace while he was still alive and a captive there. You know, that's pretty cool. They flew in Black Hawks and they did a convoy through Kabul, which is terrifying from the tapes anyway. So, yeah, I mean, there are a couple really important parts, I think. They visit an orphanage in North Africa. That's a really poignant moment as well. And another moment where you're reminded that it doesn't really matter who you vote for. At the end of the day, we're all humans who care about helping other humans. There are a lot of different important parts. I think it's a fun movie for the most part. And I hope people watch it.
And Max, you recently watched it. What was your take on the film?
Well, I personally felt like there were a lot of things on display that I felt were eye-opening. Like just the fact that this band, I mean, would take a chance on and in a lot of ways risk their lives to be put through these circumstances, I think is just so, I mean, brave for one. And that was one of my biggest takeaways, is just like, that's a very selfless thing to see them go through all this stuff and be put like in the line of fire, so to speak. So like, that's my first big takeaway was like, and I think just from watching the trailer, you can get that is like the idea that you're seeing this band just go out and fearlessly end up in these spots that where they're at any moment their lives could cease to exist. And again, I think it's something that's important that I think this project is really important, and I'm really glad that it got made, because I had no idea it existed before Dana told me about it. So it was something that for me personally, I wouldn't have been aware of had it not been for Dana.
That's great. Thank you, Dee.
You know.
Yeah. Well, she's got my back.
I mean, Amanda and I met at Factory Underground, and I had met her during a time where she was working on it. And I mostly wanted to be in the room, not just to hang out with Amanda, obviously, but just seeing it being built and put together was always interesting. So to have seen the final result, it really is a great documentary film. And I hope that, you know, it spans a little more, if not just through the military, but for the world. I feel like it links like two, as you were saying, like they're very liberal musicians and then the military, and don't I know it, being the spouse of somebody in the military, it's a whole nother side, and we can get along as just even Americans, but it goes much more broader than just being American and getting along as Americans. It brings up what's going on in the world and who are like what we're fighting against and what we're fighting for, which is really important. And I hope that the film itself gets some more traction, because it's emotional and it definitely deserves some more recognition. So I'm glad that it's out and streaming, and I'm hoping that people really do take the time out of their busy lives to engage in it. Another thing that I was going to ask is, I had another question and it just completely slipped my mind.
It just evaporated.
It evaporated. I was just going to say, are there other platforms that we will be able to see it on in the future? Is it being like entered into film festivals? Do you know anything about where it's going next after just being on, not just being on Tubi, but after being on Tubi, is it going to go anywhere else?
I have no idea, honestly. I thought that we were going to submit it to festivals, but then it was, I'm not really sure what's happening on that end of things, to be honest. I think Lori's more in charge of that avenue, and Ethan maybe. But I know that we're looking at other streaming sites as well, perhaps. But another thing that I wanted to say about the film as well is that, in addition to being, you know, poignant and a well-timed reminder that, you know, by having a little faith in humanity, humanity will show a little faith in you, I think it's also important to point out that the movie is also funny at times, and it's, you really do see stuff that you're never going to see. I mean, you see a U2 landing, like nobody ever gets to see that really. It's this really crazy situation where I forget what kind of car it is, but sports car chases down the U2 at the airbase, you know, to make sure that they land correctly, because they're landing on these wheels that are like skateboard wheels, basically. And if they land incorrectly, they'll die. And in fact, at the base where they're watching the U2 landing, and it seems really funny and interesting and kind of like, you know, tense, but it's going to be okay. And we didn't actually mention this in the film, but a week before that U2 landing, someone had actually, there had been a really catastrophic crash at that same airbase, Al Dhafra, and they had lost, I think it was like their first pilot in quite a while in a crash like that. So even knowing that, and you know, like there was no video to really support that part of the narrative, unfortunately, so we weren't able to include it in the film in order to stick with our motif. But it was just, you know, stuff like that, knowing stuff like that, there's like these really interesting, funny, like you see these guys who are, you know, in their 20s, maybe early 30s, joking around and being dudes. And then all of a sudden there's this like crazy reality hit at the same time. So it's like, it's an interesting emotional watch for sure. I think
it's funny.
You'll laugh, you'll cry.
You answered the question that had evaporated from my mind. It's like we're best friends.
Yeah, I'm ESP.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is there anything that you wanted to put in the film that didn't make it in, or anything interesting that you thought should have been part of the film, but there was no way to weave it in? And you answsered the question. It's like, in my brain.
Yeah, that was the hardest part, honestly, because Ethan was telling us all about everything that happened. I would be watching Any Given Tape on any given day, and it's literally his life. And he did this crazy, scary thing, you know, like for him, it was obviously a life-changing experience. So he always had stories to tell me about everything that was happening, even stuff that looked mundane. But so that was the hardest part, was leaving that part of the narrative on the cutting room floor, really, because, you know.
Yeah.
But
so I think the film is great, and I really like how it was weaved and sewn together. Is there anything that you would add to it, or sometimes think back and you're like, oh, maybe I should have added or subtracted this?
You took my question, Dan. No, I'm just kidding. No, you can. It's okay though. It's okay. You got this.
I honestly might incorporate some interviews if we were to ever make it longer or something. But I think for the reason I just pointed out, you know, I think back about it now and I think about some of the moments that are still quite poignant anyway in the film. And there's just such a rich backstory to some of those that would be interesting to hear from Ethan's perspective, you know, just hear him kind of taking us through it, just, you know, totally in his own words and in the moment. I wish I had honestly had a microphone in the edit room when he would come in and tell me these stories, because it would have been a really cool way to narrate it instead. But I think it's kind of an artistic piece. Laurie really, really used, she really wrote together a very good story that ties together their experience in a very, concise, but totally understandable way. And it's a very confusing story. So that was a tough task for her. And she really, this is one of the ways that it could have been made, you know, like that's the other thing. There's millions of ways that you can take this kind of footage and turn it into something. Like I said before, it could be an interviews and B-roll type of documentary. It could have been done many different ways, but you know, I think this way was pretty unique and cool.
It was definitely a unique film. I don't think that there's really anything else out there like it, which is what's so special.
Yeah.
Not only their experience having done this, but having filmed it and the inspiration as to why, like, it really is its own thing. And it's really special, and to use your words, poignant. For the time. And I can't believe it's been 20 years since 9/11.
I know, isn't that crazy? It's interesting that we just happened to, we got picked up for streaming like 2 months before the 20th anniversary of 9/11, which seemed so, so well-timed, you know, serendipitous almost. So it's pretty exciting. And I mean, just to speak to what you just said a moment ago, I mean, honestly, when Laurie said that she wanted to write a script rather than do interview narration, at first I was kind of like, I don't know, can we do it? And I was really, you know, really impressed that she was able to pull it together like that and really, really create this story without having to bring in the interviews, because it's never really, it's, well, I'm sure it's been done before, but not usually. It's a very unique way to craft a documentary. And, you know, so it was really cool to, you know, work on it and bring it together as we did.
Is there anything you are currently working on now that we should look out for?
Well, I work on a bunch of ads for In Part JBL. Check out my tour headphones. and also a bunch of other companies under the Harman umbrella. I work for an ad agency called Human, well, a design agency in New York. So not really doing as much documentary work at the moment, but would love to jump back into it at some point.
Yeah.
Well, you're fantastic at it. So please go back to doing it. I think this, this picture in particular that we're talking about today is a perfect example of what you're capable of. So looking forward to seeing where you go next when it comes to a film, a documentary even, right?
Thank you so much. Absolutely. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me about it. I'm so glad that you liked it. Everybody go watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please. Tubi,
Bulletproof Wings.
It's streaming on Tubi.
It's enlightening. It will bring all of your emotions into your soul for the moment. I didn't really know what I was trying to say, but you know what I mean. There's so many things like happy moments, sad moments, scary moments, suspenseful moments, and really great music to go along with it.
That's right.
And if you want to find the music in the film, the band is called Edison. The end is S-U-N, not S-O-N. S-U-N. Yeah.
Done. They were S-O-N though until like 2008 or something, and then they changed their name. So on all of their gear for the movie, that was another thing. Like in the trailer, I ended up making the O flip to a U because I was, you know, when you look at their gear literally in the video, it says Edison with an O the whole time. So that was like one of the many puzzles that Lori and I had to solve in the edit room. We definitely had to get very creative. I mean, it took us, once Lori came on board, it was still a year that she and I were just toiling over the keyboard in the edit room. Well, she was like sitting next to me anyway, but we were both like going through every frame by frame. She would send me these emails in the middle of the night because she would have been rewatching a tape with like time codes. Like, what about, like, I think this, this, and this is a scene. Let's do this. And we would just like, you know, because there was so much to go through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it was meticulously built. It was created with love, hopefully to spread a message that people want to hear without being too cheesy about it. I think we achieved all that. So
you did. You achieved it.
Thank you. Thank you again, Max. I really
appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for taking a chance on Sonic Dorms, as I tell everybody who comes on the show, and for giving us a chance. Really appreciate it.
Of course. You guys are delightful. Anytime.
That means a lot.
We try.
You want to close us out, Dana?
Of course. Thank you for listening to Sonic Dorms. I'm Dandelion with my co-host Max and our special guest, Amanda Osment, extraordinaire on this documentary, Bulletproof Wings, out now on Tubi. Definitely check it out, and also have a fantastic day.